I want to say thank you, first of all, for the invitation to come and to speak to this congregation. This congregation means so much to us. And as David gave me my topic, God's creation is awesome, things started to run through my mind as to what we could talk about tonight. Some of the things that popped up in my mind we're going to talk about tonight, but another thing that popped up in my mind was one of God's most wonderful creations, and that was this body of Christ here in West Palm Beach. You don't know how much you mean to our family. In 1997, my wife was baptized by Dan Jenkins over 36th Street. In 1998, my wife and I started our married life together with this congregation. In 2001, we had the opportunity to bring Patrick, our son, to his first worship service here in this building. This place is a wonderful creation of God. And I hope that you realize that. I hope that you know that. And I hope that you thank God each and every day for that. I don't know how many of us would not know these pictures. First couple may be a little difficult to see. They come from the movie Forrest Gump. I imagine most of us have seen that. If you remember what was going on during this movie, we had a young man who was in love with a young girl all through his entire life. And as you go throughout that movie, you come across Forrest Gump achieving all of these wonderful accolades. He participates in some of the many historical events of the last 50 years. And I want to read a statement as we come down to the end of that movie. Jenny, the girl that he has loved since he was a child, is sick. She is on her deathbed. Forrest comes into the room to bring her breakfast. And Jenny looks up at him and she asks, "Tell me about Vietnam." That was one of the things that Forrest was involved in. And Forrest starts out, he says, "You know, in Vietnam, sometimes it would stop raining long enough for the stars to come out. Just like before the sun goes down, goes to bed on the bayou, those million sparkles of light on the water, like that mountain lake that was so clear, it looked like it was two skies stacked one on top of another. And then in the desert, when the sun comes up, I couldn't tell where the heaven starts and the earth begin." And Jenny looks up at him and says, "I wish I would have been there with you, Forrest." And Forrest says, "You were, Jenny." You know, I hope that as Christians, when we see God's creation, when we see those things that Forrest saw, had the ability to see, and all those times that he had the opportunity to see, I hope as Christians we don't think of Jenny. But when we witness these wonderful creations of our Lord, I hope we think about our Lord. I was reminded, though, of the words of David as he was tending his flocks, as he was sitting out each and every night watching over his sheep, and he would take the opportunity to look up into the skies. He would commune with his Lord. There he would look up into the sky, and these words came to him in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3 and 4. He tells us, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Also, he says in Psalm 19 and verse 1, as he is sitting there each and every night viewing God's creation, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." I tell you, I try to picture David. I try to picture what David was doing and how he was just impressed so mightily by what he saw. And that relationship that he had with God, that he was just so amazed and so grateful and in awe of God and the creation. I know each and every one of us at some time in our life have probably sat down in our backyard. We may have pulled out a telescope, like I know a lot of this group has. You probably recognize this picture. Jerry Pittman was gracious enough to allow me to use this. But to sit in our backyard, or how many of us have gone to the beach and we have just sat there with nobody interfering with what we're looking at and just looking over the vast expanse of ocean that's out there? Or how many of us have looked into a newborn grandchild, Jackie and Gary, and seen the same thing? And we are in awe, and we are inspired, and we should be. What we do need to make certain of is we are grateful. And Amos was also aware of what his Lord had created. In Amos chapter 5, verse 8, he said, "He made the Pleiades and the Orion. He turned the shadow of the death into the morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth." And you know who does that? The Lord is his name. And so tonight, as we go home, as we drive home and it's going to be starting to get dark outside and we start to see those first stars that start to rise up, and we see that moon coming over the horizon, the Lord is his name. And he has blessed each and every one of us an opportunity to be part of his creation. You know, we may not understand exactly how it was all done. We may not be able to comprehend in our small minds exactly how it was accomplished. But all that we need to understand is that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," and that's all that we need to understand. And I'll tell you, if we cannot believe that first verse in the Bible, if we cannot believe Genesis 1:1, we might as well go ahead and just take this whole Bible. We might as well go ahead and throw it out, and we might as well just return to the sin that we were involved in before we became Christians. Every word that we have is God-breathed and is true. And it all came into existence with God simply speaking the words. Tonight I want to talk about a little bit different. As we talk about creation, a lot of times we just go through the days. But as I was looking at this and preparing for this, something really struck me that I had not ever seen before. I believe this is probably something that we study probably from our earliest classes. We may know Genesis 1:1 and Genesis chapter 1 better than any other chapter in the Bible. But I think tonight, as we open up Genesis chapter 1, I hope that we see some things, because I saw some things that I had not seen before. If you want to go ahead and take your Bibles out, we're going to be there in just a second. But do we know, I'm a little afraid of pushing buttons here. Okay. We know that the world, or a lot of people in the world, don't believe what we have just quoted there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. We know a lot of people, when it comes to the creation, that they just totally discount everything that we believe to be true. And that is true. The world believes that what we have is a result of chaos. It is a result of a particle that is smaller than anything we know, billions of times smaller than anything we know, suddenly exploding into everything that we have today. The world believes that it is chaos, and that was what we have got. That's how we have gotten here today. But I believe that we all know better than that. And so we are going to look at God and the orderliness of creation. We are going to look at our God, who is a God of order, And I hope that this is going to help us understand or grasp or love what it says in Genesis 1 just a little bit more. There it is again, Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 and 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. All of a sudden, we start to run into a little bit of problem here. We see two problems here in verse 2 that we're going to talk about. We're going to see that the earth was without form. It was formless. And we also see that it was void. It was empty. So we're going to see here God setting out to make order of what the world is missing right now. We're going to see God make form. We're going to see God fill what was empty. And we're going to see Him do that in those steps of creation. First 3 days of creation, God fixes the form. And the second 3 days of creation, God fills the void. What did God create on the first day? Open up your Bibles. We're going to read verse 3 through 5, and we're going to see where God created the light. Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And so the evening and the morning were the first day. Why light? Why did God first of all make light? God did not want His people. God did not want His children to live in a world of darkness. Why is that? I think when we have light, I think we understand that light starts to make sense of things. Light starts to show us things. I don't know how many of you have been up to the church building up in Stewart. It's an old church building. It's a long building, probably as long as it is to the back doors, but it's very narrow. My office is at the back by the back door. We don't turn the lights on in the auditorium. There's no windows, but the copy machine is all the way down on the far right. And so what I'll do is I'll print something, and I'll start I've been there 3 years now, and I would walk down and I would feel the pews walking very, very slowly because you never knew what was going to be out in front of you. And as I did that time after time over the last 3 years, I've gotten a lot more comfortable and I've gotten a lot faster walking in that auditorium in the dark. There's a spiritual lesson there for us, folks. We don't want to get too comfortable walking in the dark.
Amen.
You know why? Somebody left the pulpit out there the other day in the dark, and I ran right into that thing. I've got bruises to prove it. But that is exactly how it is with our Christian walk. Sometimes we get so comfortable walking in the dark that we just start going right along like it's no different. God didn't want it to be that way, and so God created the light. In day 2, let's read verses 6 through 8. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it be divided, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. The firmament, that's a word we don't use a whole lot. We're not going to discuss it real deeply tonight, but that is basically God created the air, and He created the waters, and He separated them. That's what we need to know for what we're looking at to do. Day 3, verses 9 through 13. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called the seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And so the evening and the morning were the third day. We now have a form. We now have a form for God to start putting things on days 4, 5, and 6 into. God's filling that form. He is making that emptiness now full. As we start to take a look at day 4, verses 14 through 19. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We now have the sun, moon, and stars going into to fill that void. Day 5, verses 20 through 23, let's read that. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. We see over here in day 2, we've got the air and the water that God provided with that firmament. And now God is providing the birds and the fish, the birds to fly in that air that He created, the fish to swim in the water that He created, filling that void that was a problem in verse number 2. Day 6, verses 24 through 31. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth, according to each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make man in our own image." We're going to talk about this different relationship that God has with man as we get down towards the end of this lesson tonight. Let's go ahead and read it. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruits yield seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the morning and the morning and the evening were the sixth day. I think we see, by looking at this chart, that the problem that was there in verse 2, without form, God made the form to fit the things that He created into that. God formed first, and then He filled. Our God is a God of order. That is how He has always been. That is how He is always going to be. And I think we need to understand that, and the lessons that come from God's creation, there are marvelous and wonderful things, and we'll take a look at those in a little bit. But I think we truly need to understand, first and foremost, that our God is a God of order. And we need to respect that. As we read through those verses, verse 4, verse 6, verse 9, there is a verb that appears in those, and there's a concept that appears throughout that reading that we just read that helps us understand what God means by order. Anybody see a key verb? Verse 4, verse 6, a concept that comes along in verse 9. God divided. For God to have a universe that is full of order, it is important that there be from time to time a divide. God requires it. Sometimes God provides that separation, and it's so important. What do we mean by this? Well, remember in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 11 and 12, where Abraham, God comes to Abraham and he says, I need you to get up and I need you to leave your home country. I need you to leave Ur, and I'm going to take you to a place that I am going to give you. You need to separate from that place so that we can accomplish what I need for you to accomplish. Remember over in Exodus, the children of Israel had been in captivity, and God provides separation from that Egyptian bondage so that we can once again establish that order that God needs. And then as we come to the book of Judges, and several times throughout the Old Testament, we understand that God said, don't intermarry with the pagans. Don't intermarry with those of the country that you're going into, the promised land there, because what they're going to do is they are going to take you away from me. I need you to divide, to separate. As we come to the New Testament in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that same concept is there. Do not be conformed to this world. Separate. The church itself, and we're not going to talk about that a lot tonight because I realize that's somebody else's lesson in this series, but the church itself is what? Ecclesia. The called out, the separated. God needs that order. He wants us to have that order, and He provides for it. One more verse I want to look at, and these are from Jesus Himself over in John chapter 17, verses 14 and 7 through 17. Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means what? To set apart. God established order at the beginning. God continues order throughout the whole Bible. And He continues order today. God gives us order when it comes to our families. God tells us exactly how our families are supposed to be. God tells us how order in the church is to be kept. God tells us exactly how things need to be for us to accomplish the goal of salvation. There is order there. Just like was established in the creation. I want to take a look now at a couple of God's awesome creation. Realizing that order is so important, let's take a look at some of His wonderful creations. But I want us to take a look there at Psalm 139 and verse 14, first of all. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I wonder if we've said that to our Lord lately. When's the last time that we woke up and we told our Lord, you have wonderfully made me, and I appreciate it so much? If these next several slides actually had voices, I believe that they would say that very thing to our Lord. Some of the things that I've always enjoyed looking at growing up are all of the wonderful things that our Lord has made. We understand through Apologetics Press has really provided a great service to the church and to people everywhere about Christian evidences. And so some of the things that you see here may be things that you've talked about before, but these are some of the favorite creations of God that I have seen over my lifetime. I asked the kids in class the other day to name some of the things. We've talked about some of the things, and I asked them to name some of the ones that were really interesting to them. The first one was the hummingbird. I don't know. I don't see a lot of hummingbirds down here in Florida. Do we have them in Florida? Do we? You just can't shoot them. Is that what the deal is? In Oklahoma, we've got them everywhere. Hummingbirds are an incredible little bird. I don't know if you know much about them. I don't know a whole lot from what I've read, but their heartbeats go up to 1,200 beats per minute. A human's heartbeat when they are fully exercising is what? 120, 130? Some of us that are a little heftier, maybe 180, 190. But their heartbeat's going at 1,200 beats per minute. That energy, the energy that is required to keep that going, the food source that they have to be able to flap their wings while they eat, they require a lot of food. Now, what happens at the end of the day when they go to bed? If your heartbeat is beating that fast, are you going to be able to rest? And of course, the answer is no. But what happens with the hummingbird is they start lowering their body temperature at the end of the day. And it lowers their heartbeat to a point where they can rest without getting rid of all that energy, because if they didn't, they would die. And in the morning, because their heartbeat has slowed so much, it takes them a good 20 minutes to get up and ready to go. A lot like our teenagers. And sometimes our preachers. Just kidding, man. I don't throw you. But that is such an amazing thing that the world will tell us was made by chaos. I say it was made by order. The order of our God. Amen. A ground squirrel. The ground squirrel's greatest enemy. Anybody know? What? Dogs? No. We're talking ground. We're just talking little ground squirrels, not just our yard squirrels. The rattlesnake. Okay? We've got the rattlesnake. Now, the rattlesnake itself is just an incredible creation. The rattlesnake has sensors in its jaws that are heat sensors. And in the middle of the night, they can actually just catch that body temperature. And it's a lot like our infrared guns that our military uses. They've actually taken that from the rattlesnakes. And what happens is that these squirrels, they're on the ground. Rattlesnakes coming in because they seek in on that temperature. But we have a creator who blessed them with a tail that when a creature that comes to them with an infrared heat sensor, their tail starts to flap all over the place, creating the illusion in that snake's eyes that there is something much bigger than just that little bit ground squirrel. And so a lot of times what happens is that snake, that rattlesnake, turns and goes away. But if you have a gopher snake that does not have the ability with the infrared sensor, that squirrel's tail doesn't need to do that, and it doesn't do it. How does that squirrel know what's what? There is a creator involved. Not chaos, but order. The old hippo. No hair. Fat as can be. How does he not get sunburned all the time? Don't even look at me. I'm looking at you. I see you. How does he not get sunburned all the time? Well, he can go bury himself in mud, but we realize there's a lot of dirty infection sort of stuff that could be in the mud. So what he does, his body secretes a very thick red substance. They call it blood fluid. It's not blood, but it coats this hippopotamus and it protects it from the sun and it absorbs all the ultraviolet rays. But also in that red blood is an antibiotic that when he goes and rolls and covers himself in the mud, it prevents him from getting any sorts of infections. Chaos or order? The old crocodile or the alligator, they both have it on the sides of their mouths, sides of their jaws. You are going to come across these little pimple-like things. Now, don't get too close. Don't start looking very close, but you will if you start taking a look at pictures or you are able to get up close enough without sticking your arm out there. You will start noticing these little bumps that are on their jaws. And what those are for, they actually have a sensor that goes to their brain from those little bumps that tells them that it's time to go eat. If they start hearing, if you shake your hand in the water, or a fish starts flapping, the vibrations come to those little pimple-sized nodules on their jaws, and it tells them, we're going to go over here and check what this is out. But scientists have taken a protective covering, and they have covered those things up, and they have gone ahead and moved their hands or put fish bait over there, and they have not responded because that is there, covering those nodules. Is that chaos, or is that order? Our skin. I don't know how often we take our skin for granted. Those who have had to deal with skin cancer and stuff like that, I think you may have a better respect than maybe some of us that have not had to go through that. But think about your skin for just a second. Think about an old farmer's hand who has worked out in the field and baled hay, used a hoe, has done that for years. Think how tough that hand is. We've shaken some hands even tonight of some very hard-working men. Unfortunately, some hard-working women too. But just think how hard that is. And then think about how soft and pliable maybe our stomachs are. And then think about the skin around our elbows that's sort of like where a cat picks up her babies by the neck. And then think how tough the skin is around, or how tight the skin is around our calf muscles. Our skin weighs about 9 pounds if it was all taken off. But it prevents us from overheating. It makes some of us look good. It provides protection from the sun. It blushes when we're embarrassed. Chaos or order? I think we all understand tonight that we have a God of order. We understand that God's creations are an incredible thing. But I don't think, or I'm not sure, that we all understand that a lot of the people of the world do not believe that there is one who spoke it into existence. And so what are we doing? We had the opportunity over the last month, a couple of opportunities to go up into the tornado areas. We headed over to Smithville, Mississippi, and then up to Hackleburg, Alabama, and were able to work with the disaster needs that existed there. God has provided man a special place in his creation. Back to Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. God put man over his creation. And we need to make sure that we do the things to ensure that God's creation is taken care of, including those things that God has commanded us to do with order in the New Testament. As we were up in the tornado areas, every evening the security, the police officers, and everybody that were up there helping would come to the church there at Hackleburg, because there was a disaster site set up. There were drinks that they could come and get. There was food that they could come and get. There were showers on the scene where they could come and get. And we had the opportunities each and every night to talk with these people. And so many of them ask about the church. They ask, why are you coming all the way from Florida? It wasn't just us. There were people from all over the country that were coming to help with the relief efforts there at the church. Church of Christ Disaster Relief was there as well. Why are you so willing to come into this town of 1,500 people and to help out? And we had the opportunity each and every night to talk to them. A couple of nights in a row, a police officer from Dothan, Alabama, he would come after he had worked his full day. And the last night that we were there, Patrick and I were sleeping in the van, and he knocked on the window to wake me up about 2 o'clock, and he said, let's finish our conversation. We did not get to baptize him there, but we were able to set up an appointment back in Dothan, Alabama, with the preacher there in Dothan on the Monday after we left on Friday, and he was baptized into Christ along with his wife.
Amen.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Tim, this officer from Dothan, he realized that this creation, this tornado, which is one of God's creations, was such an awe-inspiring, powerful thing. He saw the destruction, but he saw God's people there, and he wanted to become a new creation. And so he was able to, he and his wife, put on Christ. And I've talked to the preacher there a couple of times, and they are very faithful and very eager, and they are actually trying to convert their family now. Because they realize that they don't want that world of chaos. They wanted God's order. And I hope that each and every one of us, as members of the Lord's body, I hope each and every one of us are not adding to the chaos, but keeping the order by doing the things in our lives that we need to be, by being the husbands that we need to be. God tells us how to keep order in our household. He tells us how we need to live our lives as fathers and husbands. As mothers, we need to make sure that we are living as we need to as mothers. As members of the church, we need to do those things that God has commanded us to do. Because we are special. God's creation is special. God's creation is amazing. I want to end with a prayer. I do want to say again, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. I hope that this has been a little helpful to put a new, take a new look at the creation days and see the order that God put into it for us.